You are going to listen to a British radio show about different types of trade. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences, 1 to 8, with the sentence endings, A to K. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
First of all, what is fair trade? Let's just throw that one out there.
Well, I don't mind kicking off on that, Allegra. Fair trade is basically a way of supporting particularly marginalised and disadvantaged producers in world trade. So in many cases, that's small-scale growers of products like coffee, tea, bananas, sugar, cotton, enabling them through trade to get a price that ensures they meet their cost of production and can keep food on the table for their families, uses trade to give them an investment for their local community so that they, through trade, can also improve their communities, and also things like long-term relationships between buyers and producers, so that they're not being played off against each other quite to the extent and therefore being driven down into poverty.
Right, and there's a level with co-ops as well, isn't there?
Well, most small-scale farmers, you know, don't have the kind of production levels that they can, you know, get into an export market. So by working together in democratically run co-ops, they can improve quality together, they can improve local infrastructure together, and together they can look at then selling into the market because they've got the volumes that buyers need.
Right, well, that all makes sense. And then, so that's fair trade on one hand. And then, Neil, you've got Equitrade. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, Equitrade came about from doing this project in Madagascar. I mean, it's a joint venture between the UK and Madagascar. And what we... I mean, the aim... There's a small group of us from the northwest of England that started this. And essentially, what we've looked at is, you know, where does the money go when you buy things? You know... I'll give you an example. I mean, my daughter went to our local village and she wanted to make some lemon cake. So what she did, she went to the local store and she bought an egg, some flour, a bit of butter, and cost her £1 for all these ingredients. And she went home and then she had to put it on a machine, which was a cooker, and she needed to know how to make the cake. So she needed some know-how and she had to get a cookbook. So the cookbook, machine, and she turned it into 20 cakes, which she sold in the village for £20. So that pound was turned into £20. Now, what normally happens, the traditional model is that most developing nations just export raw ingredients, and the added value, the 20 times, is created in the richer economies because of the investment. Yeah. So the ethos of Equitrade is to empower, with know-how, skills and investment, the people in Madagascar to turn their raw ingredients like cocoa, spices, coffee, which are normally exported at pence per kilogram, and turning them into fully finished, high-quality products which are demanded in the rich economies at pounds per kilogram.
I got it. Alex, we'll come to you in a minute, but Barbara, do you want to talk to us about some of the success stories that Fairtrade Foundation's seen?
Yeah, I mean, we sales are pretty much doubling every 2 years on fair trade generally. We estimate 2 in 3 people more or less recognise the fair trade mark now for what I just described, giving a better deal to small scale producers and marginalised workers as well. You know, there's so many things. I think the amount we launched cotton in November 2005. I was out visiting cotton farmers in Mali who just within 2 years, with with the social premiums they'd earned from cotton farming. They'd gone from a village which had no schooling whatsoever, that the nearest school was a 14-kilometre daily walk for their children, that they'd gone to building two classrooms of their own, then to taking their premiums to local government and holding local government to account for providing education in their village, putting their own money in it, and now practically all the children in that in those villages are in school. And that's just one small example of what fair trade can do in terms of enabling people to kind of take themselves that first step up. I think it's entirely complementary to the kind of model that Neil is talking about, which is, you know, how can they invest in quality control, getting more value, speciality market.
First of all, what is fair trade? Let's just throw that one out there.
Well, I don't mind kicking off on that, Allegra. Fair trade is basically a way of supporting particularly marginalised and disadvantaged producers in world trade. So in many cases, that's small-scale growers of products like coffee, tea, bananas, sugar, cotton, enabling them through trade to get a price that ensures they meet their cost of production and can keep food on the table for their families, that uses trade to give them an investment for their local community so that they, through trade, can also improve their communities, and also things like long-term relationships between buyers and producers, so that they're not being played off against each other quite to the extent, and therefore being driven down into poverty.
Right, and there's a level with co-ops as well, isn't there?
Well, most small-scale farmers, you know, don't have the kind of production levels that they can, you know, get into an export market. So by working together in democratically run co-ops, they can improve quality together, they can improve local infrastructure together, and together they can look at then selling into the market because they've got the volumes that, that buyers need.
Right, well, that all makes sense. And then, so that's fair trade on one hand. And then, Neil, you've got Equitrade. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, Equitrade came about from doing this project in Madagascar. I mean, it's a joint venture between the UK and Madagascar. And what we, I mean, the aim, there's a small group of us from the northwest of England that started this. And essentially, what we've looked at is, you know, where does the money go when you buy things? You know, I'll give you an example. I mean, my daughter went to our local village and she wanted to make some lemon cake. So what she did, she went to the local store and she bought an egg, some flour, a bit of butter, and cost her £1 for all these ingredients. And she went home and then she had to put it on a machine, which was a cooker, and she needed to know how to make the cake. So she needed some know-how and she had to get a cookbook. So the cookbook, machine, and she turned it into 20 cakes, which she sold in the village for £20. So that pound was turned into £20. Now, what normally happens, the traditional model is that most developing nations just export raw ingredients, and the added value, the 20 times, is created in the richer economies because of the investment. Yeah. So the ethos of Equitrade is to empower, with know-how, skills and investment, the people in Madagascar to turn their raw ingredients like cocoa, spices, coffee, which are normally exported at pence per kilogram, and turning them into fully finished, high-quality products which are demanded in the rich economies at pounds per kilogram.
I got it. Alex, we'll come to you in a minute, but Barbara, do you want to talk to us about some of the success stories that Fairtrade Foundation's seen?
Yeah, I mean, we sales are pretty much doubling every 2 years on fair trade generally. We estimate 2 in 3 people more or less recognise the fair trade mark now for what I just described, giving a better deal to small-scale producers and marginalised workers as well. You know, there's so many things. I think the amount we launched cotton in November 2005. I was out visiting cotton farmers in Mali who just within 2 years, with the social premiums they'd earned from cotton farming, they'd gone from a village which had no schooling whatsoever, that the nearest school was a 14-kilometre daily walk for their children, that they'd gone to building two classrooms of their own, then to taking their premiums to local government and holding local government to account for providing education in their village, putting their own money in it, and now practically all the children in those villages are in school. And that's just one small example of what fair trade can do in terms of enabling people to kind of take themselves that first step up. I think it's entirely complementary to the kind of model that Neil is talking about,
yeah,
which is, you know, how can they invest in quality control, getting more value, speciality.